Hey everyone, welcome to the Solopreneur Grind podcast. My name is Josh and I am here with Simon. Simon, thanks a lot for coming on the show today.
It is an absolute pleasure to be joining you today.
Awesome, Simon. Really love the excitement. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, Simon? Kind of where you're coming from, how you got into the, you know, entrepreneurship slash business type space, and we'll go from there.
Sure. I mean, I've always been interested from a very young age in the kind of entrepreneur way of doing things. I'm based in England. I followed someone called Richard Branson, who's gone and created an empire around the Virgin brand. But what I did was I went down the kind of non-traditional entrepreneur route. What I did was I went into corporate, and I spent, good grief, nearly 20 years in corporate. Working my way up the ladder. But I could tell internally something was missing. And even though I did pretty well for myself, there was something for me that wasn't fulfilling or didn't make me excited or didn't get me going. So eventually I quit all of a sudden. And this was 10 years ago, and became an entrepreneur. And I've never looked back since.
Wow. Can I ask, what was it that you spent those 20 years doing? Were you marketing, sales, accounting?
I was in tech. I started out literally in electronics, building telecommunications equipment. So, things like air traffic control systems, mobile phone networks, things like that. So, again, not the traditional thing you think of business.
Right.
And then I segued into fintech, financial Mm-hmm. trading technology, so high-speed trading systems. Again, I worked on the tech side, but I spent nearly 15 years doing fintech.
Wow.
I basically ended up, having about 100 people working for me, working over many different continents, working on huge projects. And of course, when you spend that amount of time working in an industry, you end up accumulating tasks. So I went from something very technical to something right. very managerial, and I think that equipped me with a lot of ways about how to do things, but mm-hmm. also crucially on the flip side of how not to do things, because right. as good as and exciting as corporate life is, sometimes it can be a bit like a straitjacket, and there are certain things that you want to do that you can't. I think that's
right.
crucial as well.
I actually think entrepreneurship is more about just learning what doesn't work until you can finally figure out what does work than vice versa, right? I mean, it's almost by nature trying a bunch of things that you're unsure about until, one or a few of them kind of clicks. Simon, can I ask you, was it very near the end of that 20-year span where you just kind of had enough and pulled the plug, or was this a gradual build up until finally you said, this is it? Like, had you been having doubts for a while, or kind of that extra itch that you were referring to, that something was missing?
Yeah, I mean, I'd had an itch as a kid. As a kid, I'd had window cleaning businesses and gardening businesses and odd job businesses. So this was clearly something in my blood. But once I'd gone into the corporate world, you're kind of taught that you have to go to college or university and you get a job and everything's rosy. But because I had this in my background, there was something always there kind of gnawing at me in the back of my mind. But what you do is you put that to the background and then you just carry on.
Right.
And it built up, the skills I was building up, the network of people I was working with. I worked hard in my corporate life. I did really well for myself. But it got to a point where I could almost switch my brain off to go in and do my day job, because I kept coming across the same scenarios again and again. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't affect the change that I wanted to make if I was maybe a director or owner of the company. But right. I kind of knew intrinsically what needed to be done, which is kind of what gave me the kind of shove I needed to think, well, hang on, I do have the skills and I do have the confidence to literally make that leap. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I must admit, it wasn't a deep planning exercise. I literally just jumped. I quit my job and I left. And to cut a long story very short, it certainly wasn't as easy as I thought it was. I was sitting there Googling beautiful office furniture and what kind of plants I was having and, what gorgeous views over London I was going to have. And, it took me a long time to actually figure out that that was distracting me. I was thinking about, you know, the niceties that go with having your own company rather than actually grinding away at building my own company. So it took me 18 months, nearly 2 years to get to a point where things started working. And I learned a lot. I actually thought I knew a lot before, but in those 2 years, you know, I had a breakdown. I nearly burnt out. I lost the roof over my head. And I did the typical entrepreneur mistake, which probably resonates with a lot of your listeners, is you try and take everything on yourself. You think, right, this is my company. This is my idea. I have to do everything myself. I have to do this. So I have to be the programmer. I have to be the marketeer. I have to do all the sales. I have to make the tea. I have to sweep the floors. I have to decide how everything works. And I have to do all the customer service and everything. And I tried to do it all myself, which quite frankly wasn't the way. And certainly isn't the way that any company should work, even if it's just your company nor a solo entrepreneur. You know, there's ways to outsource and do things differently and, you know, ensure that you can focus on what you're good at rather than trying to learn skills which you don't have. So there are ways, and I certainly learned the hard way.
Right. Now, when you did quit, did you have something planned in or in your head to get started on the next day, or did you quit and take some time off to think of what that next move was?
Well, there was a little bit of an overlap. I actually worked with a few of my current work colleagues, and we worked on some software projects, cutting edge, because this was 10 years ago. We worked on AI mixed with software trading, mixed with services. So I think 10 years ago, it was pretty cutting edge. I think today it'd even be cutting edge. So we put our heads together and we came up with something. So that it was already, you know, the train had left the station, if we use that analogy.
Right.
So it was already in place. But so I kind of quit and thought, well, look, it's significantly advanced enough so that, you know, things just start moving. But say it took nearly 2 years before it started to bear any fruit. So it just shows you sometimes when you think and you think of your goals and your plans, sometimes they don't happen in the order or in the time scales that you plan. And then sometimes, you know, it all goes catastrophically wrong. The trick is to pick yourself up and keep going.
Right, right. So just to be 100% clear, you had some of these side projects going while you were working full time. And then once you quit, you kind of committed full time to them. And how did that go? Were you still working with those friends? How did the kind of entity look like for those that first year or two?
Yes, I mean, what we did was eventually there were six of us. We fulfilled various roles for a certain period of time. I tried to do everything myself because literally, you know, I was the one who quit. And the friends were the ones who didn't. So I thought, right, well, you're going to go back to your day job. It's now up to me. And that became painfully obvious that that didn't work. So we worked on a plan where I got help and I essentially hired a few of them as contractors and, you know, paid them to do a good job. And eventually we had a product that we could take to market. I worked with a sales guy to take it to market, and eventually, you know, the sales started coming in. So it took a while, and so I made probably every single mistake you can write in the book, in terms of doing it. And you think to yourself, you know, especially, you know, when you've been in corporate for 20, 25 years, you probably know what you're doing. And it's not until you're out there at the coal face when it's your responsibility that it's very easy to fall into these traps and fall into these assumptions, and you've kind of got to think about it and sometimes take a step back. Sometimes when you're so close to a project and it means so much to you that it's, you know, literally the roof over your head and it has to work, then sometimes you can make some rash snap decisions. You know, if you're making decisions about your company that are literally going to mean whether you're going to have, you know, no food or no roof over your head, then sometimes you're not making the decisions that are the best for your business. And sometimes you've got to be a bit smarter about how you do these things. So, you know, I've come through the other end. you know, 10 years later, I'm still doing it. I'm still incredibly happy and I don't regret it for a second. But, you know, asking for help, getting guidance and support was something which, in retrospect, I probably desperately needed at that time.
Right, right. And so what would you say, there's probably a lot of answers to this question, but what would you say were the two or three major differences going from that corporate life to the entrepreneurial life? And if you could maybe follow each one up with some advice for someone who may be looking at making that switch, you know, kind of how you would approach it.
Sure. I mean, when you're in corporate life, there is a lot of structure. There's process, there's procedure that you have to follow. And it's quite easy for a new employee or someone to come in and follow, pick up that manual, follow that book, and have a you know, support network of people surrounding yourself to do that. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, we're going to follow this through, you have to make up the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible. And, you know, if the buck stops with you, then you have to make sure that there's a structure around you where it can be repeated. You know, ideally, you can then break up those pieces of what you've done into smaller parts and outsource those pieces so that you're not working 23 hours a day. I think that's absolutely crucial.
Right.
You know, the second piece is, of course, you've got a reliable income in your blue chip mm-hmm. working life. You know, every month, you know, no matter what, you're getting the money. You know, if you flip the side to the entrepreneur life, well, when is the paycheck coming? You know, you've got all these bills, you've got your taxes. If you've got any contractors to pay, you've got those to pay. If you pay for any services or marketing, those come out. Sometimes at the end of the day, there isn't even enough money to pay yourself. And in mm-hmm. fact, you know, you should probably put that at the bottom of the pile because paying yourself comes last. You know, if you have all these other people who are working, then do that absolutely last. So again, there's a real issue where if you rely on this money to pay your rent and pay for your apartment and put food on the table, that can disappear very quickly. And you have to figure out a way to make these things work. You know, a lot of people that I give advice to these days, and we can come on to it because I mentor a lot of people now, is basically, you know, don't give up your day job unless you've got a significant amount of savings.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to ask about next.
Absolutely.
Sorry for cutting you off there. If you have more to the answer, but did you have a financial plan when you finished in the corporate world? Did you save up a pile to get you through the slog of entrepreneurship?
No. To be honest, I should have.
Yeah.
And, you know, that goes in the box of that was a silly mistake, because if I'd given myself 6 to 8 months worth of money and knowing in that time that was my runway to get myself to a point where the business was viable, then I wouldn't have had to make some of the silly decisions that I made.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be easy. I thought, you know, I'll build my product. I've got a smart AI developer. It's a really good idea. People will be falling in them over themselves to buy it. And making those assumptions was not correct. I didn't do my market research. I presumed it would be easy. I didn't have the savings that could have lasted me. And that was a mistake. So when I talk to people now and they're saying, oh, I just quit my job, it's like, no, don't do that. Unless you have a lot of money in the bank that you saved up, which you can do. If you can do it in your spare time and dedicate your weekends, you know, don't go out for a drink with your friends, don't have a social life. No, spend that time honing your product, testing your product, testing the market. And you can then get to an interesting point where your part-time job may actually be exceeding the income of your day job. That's a fantastic decision to make. But some people just leap, which is exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the wrong decision. And of course, you know, in the great tapestry of the world and in every way it works, sometimes these things aren't practical. Sometimes leaping is the best thing to do. You know, mm-hmm. you know, you can give people great advice, but sometimes it's not always the right thing to do. So I think when we're talking through scenarios like this, it's always good to say, consider all your options carefully and consider what may be the worst case that may well happen. And I never for one second envisioned that, you know, 15, 18 months later, I'd be making no money and still spending money like there's no tomorrow with no sales coming in. But that happened, and I just presumed it would be okay. And you can't do that. You can't
right.
plan like that in your business, you know. In the corporate, you know, there's accountants who do that. There's money that comes in. They can take loans, etc. But when you have your own business, you have to take a bit more of a long-term fiscal responsibility and look after yourself. You know, one of the biggest pieces of advice someone gave to me was, you know, unless you're looking after yourself, and that's looking after your health, looking after your mental health, making sure there's, you know, there's food and there's shelter, then you're not going to be the best entrepreneur you can be. If you're not at right. your best, you can't give your company the best shot it can be. And a lot of people have this cult of hard work and burning the midnight oil. And I got to burnout stage because I thought, because things weren't working, I had to put more hours in. So I was working 18, 20 hours a day, and that's unsustainable. So even though I was working those hours, the quality of the work I was putting in was going exponentially down
right.
based on the work I was putting up. It's not sustainable. You will find if you take a deep breath, step back, and then come back to problems and issues after a rest, things drop into perspective a lot better rather than right. you literally having to slog at these things. And again, this, especially around the entrepreneur world, there is this kind of cult of hard work and grind. And I don't agree with it at all. I think the opposite is true. You have to be smart about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily just have to work and work and work and work, because, you know, is it effective? Is it achieving the results you want? Are you right. moving forward, or are you just literally burning yourself out? And there is a crucial difference.
Right. So what do you recommend for those trying to find the right balance then between working hard and, you know, getting their stuff done and also taking care of themselves, whether that be physically, mentally, you know, through good diet, family life, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you have to be strict and you have to be disciplined with yourself. When you have a day job, you know, you go in at 9, you finish at 5, you have your weekends off, that's fine. And outside of that, you should be able to do what you want. When you're excited and motivated, and especially when you may be under pressure to earn money, the temptation can be to put more hours in. I think you have to give yourself, you know, those checks and balances to make sure. So in your diary, in your calendar, which is what I do now, give yourself time off. Spend time mm-hmm. with your loved ones. Spend time with your family. Go out to see your friends. Spend the whole weekend doing nothing. And by the time you come back on Monday, you'll find that, you know, the brain is a very clever thing, even when you're not focused on something. And you find the same when you've lost your keys, right? You oh, yeah. won't look for your keys, and all of a sudden you'll trip over them. So
yeah.
so the brain is smart. So when you're not focusing on something, the brain's still going through the issues. But the fact is, when it's in much more of a relaxed state and you're not heightened with stress, you're able to process more information. You're mm-hmm. able to be more effective, and you're able to come through to better conclusions. So I'd almost argue that the time you have away from your business is almost as important, maybe even more important than the time you have on your business. So
right.
taking those breaks and having that time off and being able to switch off, you know, be it go swimming or go cycling or take a nap or whatever it is, go and have a nice lunch. Those times will enable you to have the energy, you know, the intelligence and focus and drive to enable you to attack your business
mm-hmm.
better. And that's crucial. So especially when you're an entrepreneur, because being able to have that focus and energy can be a difference between, you know, you being able to make it or not. And the ones that rest and are mentally agile and able are the ones that win. And those
right.
are the ones who have taken the breaks.
Right. And the one thing I've kind of come to realize, so I've been working for myself for only about a year now, so relatively speaking, not too long, but when I first started, I kind of just fell back into my habit of, well, 9 to 5, or maybe I would work a little bit later during the week and get started a little bit later. But you realize that, what I realized was 9 to 5 is just, it's a corporate construct, right? That's just completely decided by society, and I don't want to go on some anti-society rant or anything like that, because that's not what this is. But you can find the timelines and work patterns and days that you want to work that works best for you, right? Because what I've kind of found is I don't mind working 6 days a week if it means working less hours per day. I'm fine with just one completely loaf day off a week, fine by me, and I don't have to, you know, burn the midnight oil, so to speak, during the week. Do you have any opinion on that? Like, how has your work week shifted as you've continued to not work for another company?
What, at the start, it was grind. It was long hours. It was 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't find that effective.
Right.
So I've come to realize that you have to measure what you're doing based on the results.
Right.
And when you're in your corporate world and you're doing your 9 to 5, those things are fine because you are paid by the hour. You're not necessarily paid for certain outcomes. And obviously there are projects and outcomes and things you have to do, but you are paid by the hour. When you're an entrepreneur, you're not paid by the hour. You are paid for certain outcomes, and you have to have that shift in mindset so that you're focusing on the outcomes. What are you doing and how does this affect your business? So I found the patterns of work that I do can vary. Some weeks I will work 10, 11 hours a day for 7 days a week. I'll be knackered, but I've achieved what I wanted to do because I've had certain goals that I needed to do. Some weeks I work 2 days a week and maybe it's 2 or 3 hours a day. And some of those weeks, sometimes I'm making more or achieving more or doing more. And
right.
it's peaks and troughs. And you have to just be very, you know, don't beat yourself up if you decide to have the day off, and clearly don't grind so hard that you know, the output of your work suffers. Don't get to a point where you think you could just work an hour a day. It can go the other way as well. But again, don't think you have to work every single hour you're awake. You will find your own natural balance. And there are some businesses out there that take a few little corrections and bits of effort to be effective. There are a few businesses out there that take a bit more time, but it is fine. But you need to find your rhythm and find your way of working where you're finding that balance without having set hours. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, get up, put your suit on and go and sit in your office or sit in the coffee shop. But I think you just need to focus on what you need to achieve. One of the things that I've learned to do is write a list. At the end of each day, there'll be, you know, emails you have to catch up on. There'll be things you have to do. Write a list of the things you have to do before you finish your day job. Hit that list in the morning. If you can hit that list in the morning and achieve those results and put a tick in those boxes, you'll have a good work day. You'll know intrinsically what you need to do. You know, if it's make 5 sales calls, or if it's, you know, finish programming, or if it's to do a social media campaign, you will know there's things you need to do. Mm-hmm. And if we lose sight of the objectives and how these relate to our business, we can just end up spinning our wheels and wasting time without actually getting anywhere. And I think that's very crucial and very important to learn.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Simon, what have you been doing? So you said it took about the 2 years and things really started picking up. Have you been running that same company since, or what have you been focusing on the last few years?
I've transitioned a lot. I've parked companies. I've failed companies. I've done all sorts. The crucial thing for me, is going back to a previous point, is I recognized I needed help and support and guidance when I started my company. I've kind of muddled through and got to a point now where I know what I'm doing. What I do now is crucial. I volunteer and help out at accelerators, and I mentor people on early stage companies. And I think that's absolutely crucial, because having an ecosystem, and a powerful ecosystem of people having the courage and confidence to grow, is strong. And what I do now is I concentrate on what I call the 4 S's. Those are systems, strategies, skills, and scale. So I don't have a software company anymore. I essentially work with companies from startup to massive corporates who have hit a brick wall or want to grow and need to understand that, you know, the right mix of those. Do you have the right system? Do you have the right strategies? Do your people have the right skills? And do you want to scale, which I think is all companies, let's be honest with you. I focus on those and I work with companies to enable that to happen. And that for me is good, because for a long time I was trying to figure out what my passion was. And it turns out it's working with people to help them realize their dreams. And that's kind of what I do now. So I've transitioned from a heavy tech role where I was making tech products into where I work with people and companies about, well, what is your dream and where do you want to be in 5 years? And let's help you figure out and let's map this way forward. So it's very different. And what's important to me is you can sometimes hold on to a company so tight that even when it's gone, you kind of don't want to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you think, well, I've put all this blood, sweat and tears into this company and sometimes it's just not working. So one of the hardest things to do in business, certainly when it's your own company, is to either park it or stop it or finish it, and realizing that maybe even working long hours or, you know, hitting strategic goals, sometimes it won't work. Now, mm-hmm. the statistics are scary. 90% of businesses fail. That doesn't right. mean that you personally or your team are incapable or stupid. Sometimes it's all about timing. It's, you know, maybe the wrong mix of skills or different strategy. There are so many millions of variables that sometimes recognizing when it's the time to stop and move on is important. So right. for me, having those lofty goals where I think, right, I want to help people achieve their dreams and work with people because people are amazing and passionate and exciting and helping people live their dreams is brilliant. It kind of doesn't matter what vehicle I use, whether it's doing my own podcast or going to speak at events or doing workshops or volunteering to mentor or having my own consultancy. I can achieve my dreams doing that. And again, I think holding on, vice-like, which I think is human nature,
mm-hmm.
to some of the dreams we have, you know, focus on the goals rather than the fact is I've created this thing and I don't want to let it go. And again, some of us are very guilty, of which I'm putting right. my hand up now and admitting.
Right, right. Simon, what would you recommend, kind of coming to the end here, two or three things you'd recommend to someone who is maybe in the situation that you were, you know, 10, 15 years ago, where they're working a corporate job, it's going okay, but they have that itch. They know that it's not kind of everything they're cut out to do. What would you recommend?
Sure. Well, one, never be afraid to try something. And the trick is try. Because I think we often get ourselves wrapped up in our corporate world and we just dream. We think, what if? Mm-hmm. You know, what if I quit my job? What if I try to start a company? And, you know, there's no special magic about being an entrepreneur. They're not cut from a different cloth. They're not special. You know, I think egotistically we might think we're amazing or superhuman or that somehow we work harder. That's just not true. The brutal truth is that an entrepreneur will try something, will fall flat on their face, dust themselves off and go again, maybe mm-hmm. down a different path. And that's the crucial thing. So if you are in a corporate job and you do have that itch, I would encourage you to try. I would encourage you to try something on a small scale
mm-hmm.
and do it. The second point I would be is do not do it alone. Even if you're going to end up having, you know, a job where it's just you and based on your skills, make sure you have a mentor or a guide or someone you could talk to actually really, you know, bounce ideas off. Because if you're internalizing a lot of these things or trying to look at YouTube videos or podcasts, you can be sent down a path and you can make assumptions that just aren't really applicable to you in your space. And you can end up making a lot of false assumptions. You can make a lot of mistakes. So mm-hmm. having having that kind of influence really, really helps. And it's not your mates. I certainly wouldn't do that. I would find someone you admire, and often reaching out to people can be crucial. So even someone you think might not answer on LinkedIn or an email, leave me flattery is very good. If people email me and say, you're an amazing entrepreneur, would you please pop on the phone for half an hour? I'd probably do it. If they just send me a random LinkedIn request and say, well, can I have a phone call with you? I probably won't. So, you know, there are nice ways to do it. And the last point I'd really say is change your networking. And people kind of realize that if you hang around with the same people, statistically, you'll end up earning around the same kind of money. And you end up in roughly the same kind of fields. And it's weird. So you end up of mentally the average of the five people you hang around. So if you want to have a dream where you want to go and do something big as an entrepreneur, then you need to change who you hang around with. And what that does is it changes your mindset. You're exposed to new ideas and different people. You make new connections. So actually going out there and finding people maybe in the field you want to get into, in the industry you want to get into, and getting out of your comfort zone can actually shake you up to the point where you have the confidence to go out there and build a business. So often changing who you're with, you know, if it's the schoolmates you'd always been with since high school and they're all doing the same kind of thing, you kind of fall into this pattern, you know, like a groove in a record where you're kind of just repeating the same thing over and over. Shaking it up a bit and speaking to different people who earn, you know, maybe more than you, who are working in the field you want to get into, you end up, you know, finding ways through serendipity, which almost sounds like a non-business way of doing it, but it can work. You know, if you're hanging around with people who are in the industry you want, you will find opportunity. They may get you into a company. They may say, hey, come and work for me, or, you know, I've got an idea for a company, why don't you help me? Things can happen. But unless you make that step to change, nothing will change. So again, we have all these dreams in our head where we want to do things, but shaking things up is the way to do it.
Right. That's great stuff. Simon, thanks so much for coming on. Anything you want to plug right now? Website, Instagram, social?
Absolutely. So I have a very unusual social name, and I would encourage you guys to ask me on social. There's a bit of a challenge for you. It's Egwhisk, EWGWHISK. There is a story behind it, but I will not reveal it on this podcast. Or you can go to my website. It's Simon Barry, SimonBarry.tv.
Much easier to spell that one. We'll have links to both in the description either way. But Simon, really appreciate you coming on. There was a lot of great stuff in there. So thanks a lot for sharing with us.
It has been an absolute pleasure.
All right, Simon, all the best.
Take care.